You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Stoppage Time from the MLS UK show. I'm Henry Hewitt and as always I'm joined by...
Elliot Holman, thank you very much for joining us again.
We've not done this in quite a while because of honeymoons and holidays and special interviews, but this is episode 15 of Stoppage Time and we're going to start on a bit of a sad note. Of course, everyone knows what has happened in the last week here in the UK. It's world news, of course. Elliot, just for anyone who's watching from outside of the UK, how's the last week been for you? What has it meant to you personally?
Yeah, strange week. Obviously, we're mourning the loss of Queen Elizabeth II here in the UK and around the world. And to be honest, I think a lot of people in the UK would confess to maybe being even more upset than they maybe anticipated. I think kind of drags up a lot of emotions, not just of our, you know, memories and thoughts about our Queen, who's always been there, ever present, a constant for us, but kind of, you know, bringing back emotions of losing family members, grandparents, etc. So I think a lot of people have maybe struggled with it more than they anticipated, but currently the UK is in a period of mourning and there's not a lot going on. You know, I'm working in the radio industry and we're not saying a lot. And I know you're working in the podcast industry and you're not saying a lot either.
Yeah, I mean, partly the reason for us doing this is not only because MLS is obviously continuing during this period because it's, you know, the States and Canada, but it's because I'm actually not doing anything at all right now because all the podcasts that I work on are taking a little break. So, yeah, it is. It's a weird situation, isn't it? Because I think for so long in this country, you know, we're 32 and 31 and we've never experienced anything like this. You know, my parents are both 61 and they've never experienced anything like this. It is completely new. You know, for a long time now, people have been thinking, well, what is going to happen when the Queen passes away? And we're now finding that out now. And yeah, I think you're right. I think whether, you know, personally, I'm not a royalist or a Republican, but she is our head of state and she's someone who's been there for a long time. So you do reflect, I think, when news like this comes out. And like you said, you do think about times in your own personal life when similar situations have happened with you know, older family members. So, yeah, very sad. But as I said, with the Premier League might have been cancelled this weekend, but in MLS, the show must go on. And that's what we're doing here on the MLS UK show with Stoppage Time. If you've never watched the Stoppage Time or listened to it before, then you won't know. But what we do is we choose four of the biggest news topics in MLS for the week and talk them through in a quick bonus episode of the MLS UK show. So number one, and I've got to say congratulations, Elliot, Orlando City, your first trophy since becoming an MLS team, US Open champions beating Sacramento 3-0. You stayed up to watch it, or, well, because you do a breakfast show on the radio, maybe you got up earlier, I don't know what you managed to do, but you were awake, you watched it. As an Orlando fan, go on, how did it feel?
well, it's it's 7-8 years of her, isn't it? Finally over. You know, I've sat next to you late at night when Atlanta have what lifted MLS Cup, and it just felt like our little moment in the sun finally, and actually really special if I'm being completely honest, because I've never had a aside from, you know, the playoff final or the championship, I've never had a team win something like that. Norwich have never won a cup, whether it be the League Cup or, you know, certainly not the FA Cup or the Premier League. There's no danger of that. So it kind of caught me unawares. It felt really special. I was sat in my living room I was with my dog, actually. And yeah, muted celebrations because it was the middle of the night, but it was really, really special. And you know, I was obviously messaging some of the guys from the Orlando City UK group, and yeah, just our little moment in the sun. And I know you've had yours, so maybe you don't get it because you've not had quite so much pain. But yeah, really, really pleased with the performance. You know, the cup run was contrasting to the MLS results up until the last couple of weeks, and is again contrasting to the MLS results. And yeah, it just felt really special.
Yeah, well, I do get it, because as you said there, you know, you're a Norwich City fan here in the UK, and Norwich have never won anything. Bolton haven't won anything since 1958. And I have actually said, if Bolton ever won the FA Cup, I think I would cry. And so I can totally understand what you're going through there with Orlando. And yeah, credit to you. You got to the final. I mean, you nearly made a mess of it until you got the first goal, and then the floodgates opened and won 3-0. So, yeah, congratulations to Orlando, your first win. And now that means that you are going to be in the Champions League as well for the first time. How excited are you, and how excited are the fan base to be in the Champions League finally?
Yeah, it feels big being in the Champions League. I think MLS as a league has grown a lot in the last 4 or 5 years, which means naturally the Champions League does as well. And I have to be honest and say I don't normally watch it. You know, we suffer enough early morning, late nights, whatever you want to call it. And I don't often watch a Champions League game live, mainly because it does tend to interrupt the early weeks of MLS quite considerably, and teams tend to just forego MLS for a few weeks while they compete in the Champions League. So yeah, it's going to be different. Certainly we've never been in it before, and it'll be interesting to see how the club approaches it, how serious they take it, and how far they can go.
So a few weeks ago, well, a few months ago now on the podcast, Oscar Pereja, you weren't necessarily he needs to leave, but you were doubting a few of his tactics, doubting the mentality of a club. Has that changed now? Are you team Pereja, or are you still thinking there's a lot of work to be done?
No, I've got respect for Oscar, obviously, for what he's done, you know, bringing silverware to Orlando. Nobody's been able to do that so far. But I do think it would be strange if we weren't a little concerned with what's happened in MLS since, you know, maybe July. There's been a bit of an upturn in results, certainly through August they've picked up a lot of points, but overall I think you look at that team, like the one that they fielded for the Open Cup final, and it's so strong. And I know it's difficult to win every game in MLS, but I think they've lost far too many, way more than they should have done, especially, you know, some beatings at home. So I think we're kind of right to be concerned, but he's demonstrated that he can bring success. You know, he's won the US Open Cup before. So you kind of want to give him time, but if they weren't to make the playoffs, it would not have been good enough. It doesn't matter what silverware he brought in the shape of the Open Cup. I think now it looks like they're going to make the playoffs. I think that's fine. His performance in the playoffs will be under scrutiny a little, I think. But if they were to miss out, it would have been a really, really, really big issue with that roster.
Yeah, I mean, Orlando, you're in a weird situation where you haven't got any superstars. You know, the days of Kaká, of Nani have gone. Pato is a superstar, but not as big as those two players. So it's more of a collective group of players of a similar standard. And but I think there's more better players in the squad now, maybe in those squads. So you're right. I think Orlando are a team that should be getting in the playoffs and quite easily. Are you an MLS Cup winning side? Probably not. But we have seen before, if you put that run together, you can get there and you can, you know, make a surprise. And we've said before, winning trophies breeds success. And you've won your first one now. Those players will be hungry for that second one, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. There's not standout names if you've never watched MLS before. But I think if you watch Orlando, you can see, you know, I just admire the work rate throughout this. The defense, again, as I've said last year, they kept the defense together. So that is a real strong point. Moutinho has really upped his game at left back. Junior Urso, it really love his energy in the middle of the park. There's been new signings. You know, Araujo has been incredible. And when you look at Facundo Torres, the guy's a magician. And the best compliment I can pay to Atlanta is Facundo Torres is a typical Atlanta United signing. And you're not telling me that he was never on their radar, because the guy is incredible. He fits everything, you know, fits the Atlanta mold perfectly. I can't see him staying in Orlando. I just can't. He is a cut above. And, you know, with the exits we've seen from the league this year, he's a cut above a lot of the players that have already left. I'll tell you that.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because that moves us on to our second topic this week on the MLS UK show, Stoppage Time. And it is about Atlanta, and it's about a very disruptive week for Atlanta. Joseph Martinez, of course, was suspended for one game due to, as the club say, multiple causes of behaviour that is detrimental to the squad. Rumours are that after the Portland game, there was a bit of an argument with Pineda. Apparently, plates of chicken and rice was flung around the locker room. And they felt the need to suspend him for a game. I mean, Atlanta did end up winning that game 4-2 against Toronto. But for me, Elliot, and you're obviously looking at this as more of a neutral point of view, even though I'm guessing as an Orlando fan, you'd love to see Joseph Martinez leave Atlanta so he can't put any more goals against you. But personally, I think it's time that both sides went their own the different ways. What about you?
That's big from you. It's a big statement. When I'm looking at a picture of him now on the wall, and I'm looking at the picture of him and Miggy, and I just think those were the times. And I think he personally has struggled to hit that level again, and the club collectively have struggled to hit that level again. We saw it with the previous manager, didn't we? There was a falling out and the club sided with Martinez, clearly. You can't keep playing that card. He hasn't been as influential. He doesn't have that hold over them currently that they, you know, where he can make big calls and throw his weight around. Fantastic player. Absolutely fantastic player. Linked with Orlando, by the way, among others. I don't know who takes a chance on him next. Incredible player, great finisher, positioning fantastic, explosive. There's so much positive, and it's like the Castellanos, isn't it? We've had this exact conversation with Castellanos. It's not necessarily an on-field discipline issue, but certainly off the field, maybe a bit of an ego. Which you need to an extent, but I don't know what's next for Martinez. I really don't.
Yeah, I'd agree. I don't know where Martinez is going to go. I think he's been, you know, the best player on a more consistent basis over the years Atlanta have ever had. You've got to remember, he played in the first ever game Atlanta had in MLS. He's been there that long, which for an MLS player, especially a DP, is quite surprising. There's not many that stay for that long. But yeah, it's come to the point now where this is the second manager it's happening with. And, you know, Atlanta in transition in the front office as well as on the pitch. And I just think for Martinez and Atlanta, the story has come to an end, because it's going to get even worse and more bitter if he stays. And you look at this year, and yeah, he is Atlanta's top goal scorer, but you know, you've got to think, well, he's not been playing the games he's used to playing. He's scored 8 goals, which is a credit to him for not playing those. But I think for Atlanta, they need to move on with the players they've got up top and really push them forward rather than Martinez, who you could now argue possibly if he'd have gone in, say, 2019, just before the 2020 and the COVID disruptions to the seasons, then he would have left a real icon, a proper legend. He still is a legend, but there's now just that little bit where people go, yeah, but he disrupted the rhythm of the team and didn't quite like, you know, he wasn't harmonious with two managers. So do I see him going to Orlando? I would hate to see that, but this is MLS. And, you know, I've got to say that if you look at, say, in England and the rivalries, Tottenham, Arsenal, United City, Liverpool, Everton, yeah, you can never see players going from one to the other. Tevez did it, Sol Campbell did it, and it wasn't pretty. But it's different in MLS. It's different amongst rivals in Major League Soccer. The history isn't there, so it would not surprise me one bit. I mean, it would certainly be news stories. We'd probably have to dedicate a full Stoppage Time episode to it, but I don't quite see it happening. But then again, I don't see where he would go. I don't see a team in MLS that would particularly have him. So yeah, it'd be interesting one to see, but I've got to say, I think this is his last season in Atlanta, and I'd love to see him go out on a bang, but I can't see that either. I don't think Atlanta will make playoffs.
No, I agree. If they want to get rid, then an MLS club is obviously the easy option with a trade. His contract remains, and that could be any number of clubs. It's finding the right fit for him, because he is a fantastic player. But similar to my point about Facundo Torres, much lesser players have left MLS this year to go to Europe. And so you have to feel like that option would still be on the table for him.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think I'd be surprised if he came to Europe, to be honest. He's done it before. It didn't work out. I think he'd go back to South America, personally. But we'll have to wait and see. The third topic we're talking about on the MLS UK Short Stoppage Time, and maybe this team could be dipping their hands in their pocket to get Martinez, because they've just earned a bit of money. Real Salt Lake have just signed a deal with America First, close to $100 million for the naming rights to the stadium, so it would no longer be called the Rio Tinto. This is a shot in the arm that RSL needs, surely.
What a beautiful stadium. And it is a shot in the arm. I think there'll be RSL fans that are a bit torn over it. Understandably, it's been the Rio Tinto ever since day dot. But, you know, ultimately, in the footballing world, what's it been, 12, 13 years of the Rio Tinto? Not a lot. You know, when we see the likes of Barcelona Stadium being renamed and, you know, St. James's Park in the Premier League, iconic stadiums that have been there for years and years. And yeah, financially, a massive boost. It's a partnership they've always had, but, you know, one that's grown and grown. So yeah, congratulations to RSL for monetizing a little bit of something that, to be honest, they don't have to give a lot, but they're going to get a lot in return.
They are, and I think this is the future of MLS now. We're seeing that teams are making money through selling players to Europe, and I think whereas we still have the franchise sort of system, teams are still bound to salary caps and TAM and GAM and all of that, the extra bit of money that's being brought in is going to be helpful, because RSL are not really a team who we've ever seen go out and get a big name. You know, I know that Utah is, with respect to Utah, it's not really LA or Miami, but it's still, you know, a good place to live. You know, especially when you look at the shot of the stadium with the mountains behind it, it looks beautiful. So maybe this money can help them get one of those, you know, one of those big name DPs from Europe.
Yeah, because they are consistently a pretty good side. But like you say, they don't have those marquee signings. So I would like to see that introduced to RSL. For me, they get a couple of big name signings, they make the playoffs, and that immediately puts the pressure on another team, somebody like an LA Galaxy, who are sort of in and around the playoffs. It really, really puts the pressure on, and LA Galaxy are no strangers to marquee signings, but it doesn't always work.
No, it doesn't, especially when you ask them to take penalties. Right, moving on to number four on our topics we're talking about. Maybe this guy could be the marquee signing for RSL, Sergio Busquets from Barcelona. It looks like he's going to be leaving the club to help with the books. I mean, we all have heard what's happening at Barcelona and registering players. He's one of the old school, one of the old players, but it looks like he's leaving. And apparently MLS is on his radar. Busquets, excellent player, but what sort of team could you see him joining?
Well, it's Miami or bust, isn't it? I thought Miami just signed everyone. They're linked with everyone. It's interesting, isn't it? Because he's sort of the Victor Wanyama ilk of, it's a big name, but it's not a big striker. So it would be, I'd love to see him go to a team that are struggling. Realistically, is that going to happen? I don't know. It's Sergio Busquets. The guy's going to demand big wages and he's going to want to live somewhere very, very nice. But I'd love to see him at a club that are struggling, because I think just having someone in the middle of the park, kind of the Michael Bradley role of 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, where they can really, you know, control a game, receive a pass, pick a pass. I'd love to see him at a team that are struggling, but historically, these players go to an LA or a Miami. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I've got to say my first thought was LA, and then I realised that, well, they've probably got too many. LAFC have probably, LAFC, they have actually probably got room to manoeuvre in that, because the players they've brought in, especially Bale and Chiellini, are not DPs. But yeah, you're probably looking at Miami as well. You know, they're looking for that shot in the arm, as we just said, with RSL, you know, because their league positions have not been good enough. I noticed Phil Neville was on the call up this week and said that David Beckham is putting a lot of pressure on them, even though they're mates, because he doesn't want to be 7th, 8th, 9th. He wants to be first. But a player like Busquets will help with that. You know, the romantic in me would love him to join a team like RSL and really see what he can do there. But I guess with him being Spanish, the weather in Salt Lake might not really be up to what he's used to. So you're looking at the warmer climates, and therefore you're probably looking at California or Florida.
Yeah, Orlando, we'll take him.
We'll wait and see. It's just the latest name to be linked with a move to MLS on Stoppage Time. And that rounds off this week's episode of Stoppage Time. Thanks very much for watching. Thanks very much for listening. Don't forget, if you're on your podcast provider, follow us, subscribe to us, and leave a rating as well. But Elliot, there's one rule, and one rule only.
5 stars, LA Galaxy style.
Definitely. If you're going to rate us 4 stars, just don't bother. It's fine. Also, a big shout out to our sponsor, soccer90.com. They're the best place to get you soccer gear ahead of the World Cup and MLS stuff and EPL stuff. I'm just on the website now. They've got Borussia Dortmund shirts, PSG tracksuit, Chelsea's new home shirt. They're also selling the official soccer ball of the World Cup as well. They've got Man United stuff. So well worth doing. And when you're on there, when you get the stuff that you want, stick it in the checkout, stick it in your basket. And then when you are at the checkout, on the discount code, type in MLS UK, you get 20% off too. So that's it from us. We'll be back next week with a full episode of the MLS UK show. But for now, I've been Henry Hewitt.
And I'm Elliot Holman.
See ya.
Sports Social Podcast Network.